Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The art of writing a letter really has become a thing of the past. I don't know how many of you still sit down and write handwritten notes, long form, cursive, the whole nine yards, in order to express our love and care and concern for other people. There's something romantic about that idea of people who are around during the war, love letters that were sent back and forth, or letters from home, praying for our soldiers abroad, and then those soldiers writing letters as well that would go back home telling about the difficulties and the challenges and longing for the luxuries and the comforts of home. The Christmas letter. Do any of you still do them? The reality is that you don't write them in long form. You type them out, most likely, and then you make copy after copy, because after all, who wants to write all those letters? But the reality is even that has gone by the wayside, I think. I still love that our family shares them with others. However, I've been retired. My adult children now write them, and they're funnier than I am, so I accept that. But even in that world, we have people who cheat nowadays. We're not going to write you a full letter and tell you all the wonderful things that have gone on in our family the last year. Instead, we're going to take a picture and send it off to Walgreens and soup it up and then send this out. And so we've got our first three. These are my good friends, Nathan and Jean. We wish you the peace, happiness, and love that the true meaning of Christmas brings. I like that. That's nice. From my wife's cousin, O Holy Night. And they have their family there. May the true spirit of Christmas season fill your heart with joy. Have a blessed Christmas. Then there's just my nephew and his family, Ho Ho Ho. The kids are cute, and it's nice. But the reality is we've gone away from writing things, and instead we email quickly, or we text. And the reality is that happens no matter what our ages are. But there's something special about the written letter. And the Apostle Paul wrote many letters for us that are recorded for us in the New Testament, sending messages off to congregations that he had visited, information that he had learned, and then often celebrating the reports. And so today on this second Sunday of Advent, our second lesson was from the beautiful letter to the Philippians. And in that letter, Paul is encouraging the people whom he got to know so intimately to continue to learn, to continue to grow. Grow in appreciation for the love that Jesus had for them, and then in turn, to share that love with others. And it's a lesson that's for us too, because learning more, I believe, really leads to loving. Loving more, giving of ourselves, cherishing the blessings that we have, but then pushing them forward and granting them to other people as well. Paul, in our lesson for today, we hear about all of these accolades that he heaps on the Philippians. And it's interesting because there were three little paragraphs, and the way Paul wrote, really they were all run-on sentences. He wasn't very good at punctuation. And so in each of the paragraphs that are listed out there, there's one little nugget that really draws your attention in. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I suppose this is good writing now, right? We started getting rid of commas. I know they come and go all the time, but now they're talking about getting rid of more commas. This idea that I remember you, really, that's what letters are about. They're remembering things of the past because they are reporting the news. We might talk about the things that we hope for and that we anticipate, but really it's looking back. And so when the Apostle Paul talks about remembering all of those in his prayers, well, we've been introduced to a couple of them. We've been introduced to a woman named Lydia, who was down by the river, who sold purple cloth, who Paul, when he wanted to establish a congregation in Philippi, went down there because he knew there were a gathering of believers. There weren't enough people for a synagogue at that point, not enough leaders. So he got to know Lydia. And Lydia welcomed him into his house, into her house, and that became the headquarters for the early ministry of Philippi. And there was that time when, because of their work and the proclamation of the gospel, that Paul and Silas ended up in jail. And so he no doubt remembered the jailer, who when the earthquake struck, and the thought was that all the criminals were going to escape, singing Paul and Silas, praying Paul and Silas, well, they didn't leave. And when the fear of that jailer was that with the missing criminals that his life would be taken, Paul and Silas said, no, don't take your life, but find hope. Find hope in Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world. And that jailer, who marveled at his prisoners, took them home. And he was baptized, and so was the rest of his family. All of those things that would be so beautiful and wonderful were a reminder of God's mercy. And then they not only were recipients of that mercy, but they became partners in the gospel. Your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That the faith that has been worked in you will remain intact. That there will be a joy and a peace that you will know that you will have the opportunity to share. One of the great things about brothers and sisters who gather together is our partnership in the gospel, in training young children to grow in the truths of God's word and to be able to sing those praises, to come together in worship at where our God is glorified, where we understand the wonderful gifts that we have received, to live those gifts. And those gifts go beyond our church and school walls. They go out into our community where we offer invitations for others to come and hear the good news. And it goes beyond that as we offer financial support to missionaries that go to other places of our country and around the world so that more and more people might be able to hear that good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus, yes, born as a baby in Bethlehem, but all the more importantly, the crucified and resurrected Savior. It's interesting that Paul is already talking about the day of Jesus Christ. He's already talking about the last day. He's already talking about Jesus' second coming. And what's interesting about it is that's about 1950 years ago. And here we are. We're still waiting. The fact that Paul, along with us, has that same anticipation that the Word of God changes hearts, and we have that confidence because we know that Jesus is coming. We don't know when. We don't know how. We don't know when our last breath will be taken on this earth or when Jesus comes in all power and glory. But the prayer is that we remain faithful to the Word. And the reason that we can remain faithful to the word is because of his grace, which is brought out in that second paragraph in the next couple of verses. It's right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Paul was a pastor at heart. Paul loved all of the people who he got to know as he established congregations on his missionary journeys. He had them in his heart. And that's true of your own pastors here at Faith. They have you in their heart. They care about the things that are going on in your life. To be with you when your hearts are broken. To be with you and navigate you through days of temptation and difficulty. To stand by your side in celebration and rejoicing for all the wonderful milestones that are a part of your lives. They rejoice and they celebrate when you are gathered together in worship. They pray for you and are concerned when we're not all together. Their heart is for you because they have the heart of Jesus. No, not the perfect heart of Jesus. There are those tests and those challenges in every pastor's life as well. And yet, they have that care and concern about you because you've been called to be children of God. And we're called to be children because of his grace, his undeserved love. This morning when I woke up at 5:45, it wasn't a pretty picture in the mirror. Groggy, had the crease marks from the pillow, didn't sleep, was all eager to come back here this morning after being here last night. But it was a reflection of me understanding just who I am. The imperfection that lives in my daily life and in my heart and in my mind. Another reason certainly to celebrate God's grace because he allowed me to wake up this morning. But also kind of a solemn recognition of what did this day hold in store. That there would be the highs, the joys of being together and proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Later there'll be a Christmas concert with our college students. After that it'll be some time with our campus ministry student workers and our two young people who help serve us, who serve with us as student assistants from our seminary. And yet there'll be those times where I know that my mind will wander, that I will have things in my mind that are harsh and difficult. The fact of the matter is that I've already gone past some speed limit signs and I might have been one or two over already on the way down here. The fact that I may say something harsh to my wife. I can guarantee you I'll probably say something sarcastic to my children. All of those things, I even know that I'm going to do them and somehow I still can't help but hold them back because Satan is right there in my ear and the world looks so appealing and my own sinful nature gets the best of me. But at the end of the day, when I look in that mirror, and I brush my teeth one more time, I'm going to have the confidence of God's grace that it's been with me all day long. That even though I didn't deserve it because I willfully sinned against God's divine will, that he loved me enough, that he sent his son into the world, that he came to pay for all of my sins, and that he knows me individually and personally. And because of that, I know I have forgiveness. So that when I lay my head down, and I still say that prayer that I said as a child, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I know he will do that. Because I was baptized May 27th, 1973. Because I had people who loved me and cared for me and shared the gospel with me. That grace was a constant reminder that no matter who we are, that Jesus changes everything for us. And so we are relieved. And because of that grace that has been granted to me, that undeserved love that has removed all of my sins and assured me that I will not live forever in punishment and in hell. Instead, I will live with my Lord and Savior and all my fellow believers in the glory of heaven. And because I know of that love that God has for me, I'll do all the more to share that love with others. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. May your love abound. And the reality is, the only way that our love is going to abound is if we continue to go back to His Word. Because as I mentioned, the rest of the things that go on around us will only lead us further and further away from the truth. And if we're not hearing the truth, then how are we going to be able to discern what is right and wrong? And so we read and we learn, we listen, and then we love. The Apostle Paul, well, he didn't start out very loving, right? The great Pharisee, the one who was very good at keeping the law but lacked love for people. It was his own self-righteousness that caused him to think that he had it all figured out. And I believe that's true for most of us, if not all of us in this room. We've got it all figured out. We know all the answers. And because we know all the answers, we respond to things that are controversial or difficult with lovelessness. Well, there's love, but we love ourselves and we love our own opinions. We love winning the argument and thinking that we're always right. But if we're listening to the Word, then we are learning to love others more than ourselves. And the reason we do that is because we love Jesus more than we love ourselves, and we love Jesus because He first loved us. The last 21 months has caused a lot of discerning. There's a lot of conversations that have gone on, a lot of information, things we believe, things we don't believe, things that test us and challenge us. Where do we go for our information? Some of you may still love the evening news. I'm the guy who's on Twitter all the time. I think everything on Twitter is always true. Where are we learning the truth and where are we learning information? All of those sources might be good, but they all come up short. The one source that we truly need is the gospel, because it changes our heart and helps us to grow in our knowledge, as he says, but more importantly, to grow in our faith. And when our faith is strong and we are flexing on all cylinders, then our love is going to continue to increase. God showed His love throughout the course of our history. His history is eternal, and He records it for us in the Scriptures. And at Advent, I think oftentimes we are just getting directly to the manger. We're looking forward to December 25th. But Advent is so much more. It's more about the second coming of Christ. We know the truth and that Jesus came as the babe in Bethlehem, but now we look forward to heaven. And the reason Paul might have been so reflective in this letter to the Philippians is because he knows that the end is near. Philippians is believed to be his last letter. He's talked about being in chains. He's under house arrest. These letters are going out. Next week's lesson, second lesson, will be a follow-up to this. He knew that his life was near an end, and so he had his eyes heavenward, fully confident of the promises that God had made, that there would be that messenger who would go before him, the messenger that was described in our lesson from Malachi, the messenger who comes across kind of nice today in Luke chapter 3 in our gospel. Next week, you guys can handle him calling everybody the brood of vipers. I'm a little more of a soft touch, so I avoided John the Baptist today. Paul reflecting on what is yet to come. He's reported the news. He's got the memories of his people of the past, but he's looking forward to being forever with them in heaven. When everything is complete, when the fulfillment of God's grace has come to fruition, when Jesus comes in all power and glory to take us to be with him. But while we continue to linger here, in imperfect people in an imperfect world, we have the assurance that we have been changed. We've been filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. He sees us as perfect. Jesus sees us without sin. And that's all because of the blood that he shed on the cross and the victory that he won over sin and death and the devil on Easter. So, this Advent season, we continue to learn. We continue to grow. We don't rest on the things that we've known of the past, but we study his word because we know maybe at this point in history, we need love. We need Christ's love. And may that love lead us to love his word, to love each other, to love those out in our community, to love those around the world who need to hear the good news. And as we grow in love, we look to the heavens and say, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Take us to be with you." Amen. Please stand. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you today and always. Amen.